Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
I just want to be able for them to put that damn radio on after tonight's game at 10 o'clock. That's all we're concerned about, is to feel good about ourselves tonight after this game. Then we'll worry about what the odds are after that. And this, we're not even looking at a 3-0. This team has played really well this year and has grown tremendously. I do not want them leaving tonight not enjoying a playoff win. They play this crap for music when you come in after the game. I want them to be able to put that on and just jam with it.
That was John Tortorella yesterday morning. He wanted the music to play after the game last night. It wasn't going to play if the season had come to an end, but that music played. It played loud. It played proud. And the Blue Jackets live to face the Penguins in Game 5 tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. Welcome to a playoff edition of CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McElligott. Was that the prettiest game that you've ever seen? 5-4 last night? Was that the prettiest game you've ever seen? Probably not. But do you care? Absolutely not. It was effective. Sometimes things don't have to look the best. They just have to have the result that you want at the very end. And that's what last night's game was to me. That's where the category came in. Just get it done. And they found a way to get it done. And I really think that the way they got it done was the way they started the game in the first period. And it was another good start. I think they've had a good start in every game, in each of the first four games. It's been a good start for the Blue Jackets, but last night I thought it was exceptional. And what made it exceptional to me is that they just played simple, and they played calm. They didn't come out like their hair was on fire at the opening faceoff, like they had to absolutely score the first goal of the game, like they had to get up by two, like it was really life or death. It was life or death, but they played it as though, okay, we know that this could be the end, but we are going to decide, number one, if it's the end, and number two, how it's going to end. That's what they seemed like to me. They were just very methodical in the way they went about things. They made simple plays, simple passes. If they got a chance to shoot, they shot the puck. They tried to get it on net. Sometimes it went on, sometimes it didn't. They blocked shots. They made it easy for Sergei Bobrovsky. I thought in the first period especially, they made the Penguins take shots from where the Blue Jackets wanted those shots taken from. They didn't allow the Penguins to come in and dangle and make the cross-crease pass and all those things. They made it simple in the first 15 minutes of the game. And I really think they were rewarded for that as the game went along. And then they got that first goal, which was absolutely huge. And Jack Johnson was not even trying to put that puck on net. He looks up. He sees a gaggle of bodies, and he's got one of his guys in there, but he's just throwing it that direction. See what happens. That's what the Penguins have been doing this entire series. Throw it in there and see what happens. Maybe it's on net. Maybe it's not. Maybe I get a deflection. Maybe I don't. Jack Johnson throws it in. It hits Sidney Crosby's skate, and it goes into the net. Now, if they were still teammates at Shattuck St. Mary's when they were high school kids, that would have been great for both of them. But as it turns out, it was only great for one of them, Jack Johnson. He gets his first goal of the playoffs, and Crosby wound up with an unwilling assist on that goal. But that made it 1-0, and the Blue Jackets started to feel good about themselves. And then they really felt good a couple minutes later when Josh Anderson drives down the right wing, angles in from the circle, and beats Marc-Andre Fleury 5-hole. And the key to that play, the absolute key to that play, is it set up and it developed. It was Kyle Quincy who got it out to the neutral zone to William Karlsson. Karlsson dishes the puck to Anderson and then drives to the front of the net. And Jean-Luc Grandpierre, who was working with me last night, picked up on this immediately, and watching the replay, it was plain as day. Because Karlsson is driving the net, Marc-Andre Fleury is looking to his left. He knows he's got a guy coming off to his right. Now, what Fleury does is he anticipates and he makes the wrong call because he takes the blade of his stick instead of keeping the stick down between the legs, covering the five hole, instead of having the blade of the stick right between his skates, he takes it and he turns his right wrist that opens up the blade and puts it basically from his the toe of his right skate straight out. Now, why does he do that? Well, he does it because he thinks that Anderson's going to pass it to Carlson, who's driving the net, to try to tip it in. So he's turning the blade of the stick and taking away the passing lane, which he would have done. If it was a pass, it would have been knocked away by the goaltender. No harm, no goal, and the Penguins would have still been down by one. But because it wasn't a pass and he moved the blade of the stick, the area between the skates is wide open. The five hole is there. And Josh Anderson says, give me five. Bam. Puts it right through the skates. It's a 2-0 game. And then the second period, Marcus Nuttavaara. I mentioned Kyle Quincy a moment ago. He had an assist on the Anderson goal. He hadn't played a single playoff game in the series until last night. They deemed him to be not a fleet of foot enough to be in the lineup against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Listen, I understand that there's a lot of evaluation that goes on, and I understand that Scott Harrington played well in the first three games, but I'm going to say this one time and one time only. I don't know who overthought that, but gee whiz. That, for one day anyway, made you scratch your head why he didn't play up until that point. Kyle Quincy was in the right spot all night. Yeah, he's not the fastest guy. He's not going to beat Jake Guentzel up the ice in a race. Absolutely not. But if you're not as quick anymore, the way you make up for that is by good positioning, being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and taking away angles. And I thought he was great at that last night. So he went in the lineup. Marcus Nuttavaara comes into the lineup with Zach Werenski being knocked out with the injury. And Nuttavaara, on the third goal, winds up standing on the doorstep because the Blue Jackets are in their own zone. Nuttavaara makes a read, and he decides that he's going to vacate the zone immediately. He's going to take off, and he comes down the ice in a 2-on-1. And he takes a shot, and Fleury stops it, and it's a long rebound, and Boone Jenner picks it up high in the slot, goes into the circle. He takes a shot. Fleury again stops it. Low shots, which was the theme of the night on both sides. Low shots, look for rebounds off the pads. Jenner's shot comes off the pad right back to Nuttavaara. He puts it in. First Stanley Cup playoff goal of his career, and he's standing 3 feet in front of the net. Why? Why is the defenseman 3 feet in front of the net? What would have happened if? That's a sentence you can say. What would have happened if, ... Who cares what would have happened if? It didn't happen. Nuttavaara made the right call, and it goes back to the sign that John Tortorella had put over the door when you're leaving the dressing room to head to the ice every day. Safe is death. He has preached that. He said back in training camp, there will be mistakes. There are days I'm going to have to turn away. I have to let them play. Marcus Nuttavaara took a calculated risk, and the probability of him being successful was probably low, but he didn't care. He took a look, and he took off, and he got a goal, and it was 3-0. And then the Penguins, as you knew they would, they started to mount a comeback, and they got to within one. And by the end of the second period, they were all over the Blue Jackets. I don't know if all the years I've done pro hockey, and this I'm talking 20 years of it, I don't think I've ever been more thankful for an intermission to come than I was the second intermission of last night's game, because the Blue Jackets needed a break. They needed to regroup, and regroup they did. And they come out in the third period, and William Karlsson, who's a defensive specialist all year, you know, gets a goal here and there, but what a goal he gets early in the third period. And he extends the lead. He makes it 4-2. Tom Kuhnhackl then gets a goal a couple minutes later, and it's 4-3, and you still don't feel good about things. You know, you're still feeling as though the Penguins are going to make a push and they're going to get the game tied. And then Boone Jenner and Brandon Saad combined to make it a 5-3 game. And it's just classic Boone Jenner, nose in the blue paint. Stick was there anyway, maybe not his nose, but he's right at the front of the net. And Saad is able to get the pass into the crease, and Boone tucks it in, And, you know, for a guy that works as hard as Boone Jenner does, he deserved that celebration that he went through after that goal. He knew what he had put out just to get to that spot, and he reveled in that moment, and he should have. It was a great moment. 5-3, and now you can settle down. Now you force the Penguins to play a 200-foot game, and that's what the Blue Jackets did. Yes, they gave up a late goal when the Penguins had the goaltender pulled. It didn't matter. Nobody cared. Although with 26.4 seconds left on the clock, you still were biting some fingernails, right? But it all worked out. The Blue Jackets win, and it was a gutsy performance. It really, really was a gutsy win last night. And it was a character win for this team. I mean, this is what they are. Find a way to win. All year long, how many times have I told you that? They found a way. Was it great? No, wasn't great. The result was great. Was the process great? Not at all times. But I thought one thing they really did last night is they handled the wave of momentum that the Penguins would come with much better in Game 4 than they did in the previous three games. So they still have a long way to go, but they're still alive to try to climb the ladder, and that's what is most important. All right, let's get a lot of player reaction from last night. I went down to the dressing room, talked to a lot of guys. I want to start with Marcus Nuttavaara, who, as I just told you a few minutes ago, got the first Stanley Cup playoff goal of his career.
You seem to like do the things that you've done well and make good first passes, simple plays around the boards. Is that was kind of your, you know, when you went, once you got out there, was that kind of your plan?
Yeah, it was. Play simple and just like trust your own skills and own teammates. And it was easy to play, and Carlson's a really good dude, so it's easy to play with him too.
Of course, Marcus, everybody want to know why you didn't play up until this point. You were great today. But you've had to sit and watch this thing, and I'm sure that was tough for you. Could you imagine that you would have as good of a game as you wound up having today?
Can you ask again?
Can you imagine? Is this almost like a dream for you? I mean, you wanted to play. You get to play, and then you have a great game. Could it get much better for you right now?
I don't think so. We need a win, and but that's all. Like, we need three more wins, and I just got to focus on the next game.
The goal that you get, you jump up on the play. You've been doing that all year. In fact, have you been getting more comfortable in picking your spots where you can get up there on the play offensively like that?
Yeah, of course. And I don't know, this crowd makes me do some other stuff too. So I just want to have fun on the field.
When the rebound comes off him and comes back to you, you can't miss, and you didn't, right? I mean, the crowd drives you crazy in a good way, and you cashed in.
Yeah, it's a great crowd, and gives a lot more boost to us.
Going back to Pittsburgh now, you just said you got to win three more, but a lot better mindset, right? You feel a lot better going in there with this one win.
Of course. Now we can trust again. Like, we can win, but it's a long road, so we got to work hard.
I love that attitude from Marcus Nuttavaara. We can win, but it's going to be a long road. Yeah, he's right. He's right on both counts. They can win, but they've got a long way to go to get to where they need to be, for sure. But they took the first step. And I'm going to tell you something. If the Blue Jackets win tomorrow night, like if I'm the Pittsburgh Penguins, big deal, they lost last night. Who cares? Go back to my home building. I'd rather win at home anyway. Go home, win in front of your own fans, take a couple of days off, wait for the winner of Toronto, Washington, you know, chill out for a little bit. That would be my attitude if I were them. And if they were to lose tomorrow, I think the attitude would still be on their part. We're fine. We're up 3-2. We just got to win one out of two. It'll be fine. Simple as that. But see, what they don't know is if they lose again tomorrow, and that means the Blue Jackets have won back-to-back games, I think the Blue Jackets are a completely different team. I think it is game on if the Blue Jackets win tomorrow night, because this team that has been a momentum team that has just really thrived when they've had confidence in themselves throughout the course of the year. They got a little bit of confidence last night. If they win again tomorrow and they get a lot more confidence, they are going to be a formidable foe, and the Penguins are going to have a hard time. I'm telling you. Believe me, you watch them for 82 games, you're around them, you know their mindset, you know how they react to certain situations. If they're able to go in and pull this off again tomorrow night, game on. It is going to be very difficult for the Pittsburgh Penguins in the final two games to get rid of them. That's my opinion. That's what I think. And that's what the show's about, what I think. So there you go. Who else can we hear from? How about Boone Jenner with that huge goal that he got in the third period last night?
Post-game, this was a big deal to Torts. He wanted to hear music. He wanted you all to experience that. What was post-game like in here, just as you looked at each other? What did you all experience together?
No, it definitely felt good, obviously, to put the work in and to get the win. And, you know, like you said, turn the music on and enjoy it a little bit. And, yeah.
My understanding is it was Avicii.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
EDM? You don't know what it is?
You're asking the wrong guy there.
Cam, I guess, is the DJ
yeah,
in that
yeah,
regard.
You're going to have to ask him.
He actually didn't get to hear it, but I just wonder, can that be something you feed off of? Just getting that experience, can that be something that builds?
Yeah, no, it's good to get a win under your belt, obviously. You know, in the first few games, not there, and then to get one, it's just something to build off. We got to, you know, look at our game, look what we did right, and build off it, and we're going to have to be better each game.
How about the contributions of your two defensemen that came in the lineup, Quincy and Nudavara tonight, and what they did for you guys?
They were huge. I think, you know, with Zach going down, it's a tough one. But, you know, they did a great job in coming in. And you know, they didn't look out of place at all. And Nudy made some great plays out there. They got a big goal for us. And Q was, you know, physical and doing his thing back there. And he was huge for us.
When I already asked you about the second period, were there any other key moments in the game where you started to feel kind of that surge of confidence that you guys were going to get this one tonight?
I think we just, you know, stayed to the track. I think stayed to the course, played our game no matter what. I didn't think too many things phased us tonight. We just wanted to stay within ourselves and play our game.
Boone Jenner, hockey cliches in full force, stay within ourselves and play our game. They did that. They just don't make it exciting sometimes when they put it like that, you know? But that's what they do. They speak in cliches, and as long as the cliches are true, who cares? They stayed within themselves. They played their game. They won. The guy that worked hard to set up that Boone Jenner goal was Brandon Saad. I had a chance to talk with him after last night's game as well.
Can you talk about that? How the adversity helped tonight? How you built from that game, that disappointment from earlier?
Yeah, it's a tough loss, but as hockey players, you know, you go through that throughout a season where you just got to move on to the next game. We had another chance in our home building. We were all excited to play here, so it was a tough loss, but at the end of the day, you can't dwell on that. You got to move on and you're on to the next game.
Both teams are shooting low, trying to get rebounds, it looks like at least. How much of a focus has it been for you guys? And when you're playing defensively, cleaning up rebounds, how much of a focus is that?
Yeah, I think collapsing defensively and helping out our goalie with our defense. And like you said, you know, you want to shoot for a rebound, especially with how tight teams are playing defensively. It's tough to score from that far out. So just to get action at the net and bodies at the net, that's how you create chances.
Brandon, talk about the lift that Nudavara gave you guys and also Quincy.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, they come in after not playing for a week or so, and for them to hop right in there and contribute like they did, that's great for our team. You know, that depth is how we win hockey games, and we're happy to have them.
Brandon, even though there were some scrambles in this game at points, how important was the start today in the first period where you guys just kind of played it very methodically, finally worked it into a one-goal lead, then a two-goal lead? You set the tone like that today, and how important was it for the whole game?
It was huge. You know, I think last game, too, we got off to a quick start, but we ended up giving up the lead. So tonight, that was our mentality, was coming in, starting fast, but continuing that for 60 minutes and buckling down and playing the right way. So we did a good job here tonight.
What you learned 48 hours ago is they're going to come back in a game, and they did. They got it back to within one. I thought you guys were really good, even when there was Quincy gets called for the penalty. Maybe it should have been two guys to the box, not just one. You were able to keep your heads today, and I'm sure that's hard, especially when your season's on the line.
Yeah, that's a good hockey team. So it's a game of momentum for us. It's when they have it, we want to get it back as quickly as possible. We did a better job of that tonight with shutting them down and getting back on our side. So that's what we had trouble in the first few games. And for tonight, I think we did a good job.
I know you guys know you can win games because you did it all season. But to win one in the Stanley Cup playoffs, just to know again that you can win, and you can win in this atmosphere, how big is it?
It's huge. You know, confidence is everything. And when you get that buzz and that excitement in the room, we're going to enjoy tonight, but tomorrow's a new day, and we got a lot of work ahead of us.
So there's your theme. Once again, a lot of work to do. They know it. They're ready to turn in that work. They're ready to do it, and they'll get a chance to do it again tomorrow. I thought the best line of the night for the Blue Jackets was William Karlsson, Matt Calvert, Josh Anderson. Karlsson and Anderson both had goals. Calvert was just there all night long, pestering the Pittsburgh Penguins, making the small plays to get the puck out of the zone, blocking shots. Typical Matt Calvert. He did what he always does. They missed him. They missed him in Game 3, but he was back in Game 4, and he was effective. But William Karlsson, a couple of things. The goal in the third period opened it up a little bit, even if it was just for 2 minutes or whatever it was. It gave them breathing room. It gave them more confidence. That was number one. And number two, it gave a guy that is a defensive specialist a shot in the arm, getting a goal, being able to contribute in a big way in a playoff series. It really just solidified that line, to be honest with you. That's what I thought. When he scored that goal, you've got Anderson with one, you've got him with one, you've got Calvert throwing his body in front of every puck that's being shot in the direction of Sergei Bobrovsky when Calvert was on the ice. They were terrific. What have I called them all year? The stabilizing line. Things go wrong. Who do you call on? 25, 11, 34. Give me them. Put them out here. And they did it again all night last night. And another switch was Karlsson had been playing against Evgeny Malkin. That even goes back to the regular season as John Tortorella was trying to match up Karlsson and Malkin. And he won some big faceoffs against Evgeny Malkin in the regular season and in these playoff games. But last night there was a switch made where Karlsson went to defend Crosby's line and Dubinsky moved over to the Malkin line. And I think that worked for both because I think Dubinsky's line, not just him, his line, those guys were getting eaten up by Crosby's line the last two games, and Karlsson had started having trouble with Malkin. So they flipped them, and I thought they both responded really well. I like the way that Bill played against Sid. I really do. And I would imagine that that's a matchup John Tortorella is going to try to get as much as he can again tomorrow night. Anyway, we talked to William Karlsson after his big performance in Game 4.
What's your goal in the third? How did that seem to lift, give you some margin for error there at the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to have an insurance goal, obviously. Fun scoring again, and we got the win eventually.
All you guys wanted to do tonight is get it back to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It's a success now, and you build from here?
Yeah, I mean, as you said before, it's one game at a time, really, and it's all we can do. We said we want to go back to Pittsburgh, and I think we handled ourselves good here and got the win and heading to Pittsburgh.
Joe, you were going up against Malkin for the early part of this series, and now today he matched up against Crosby a lot. It looked like that was a good matchup. How comfortable were you with that?
Well, you can't really take a shift off against that line. They're real skilled and they're really good, so you really had to have your head on a swivel all the time and be sharp.
How did you guys, how were you able to manage the flows today? In the earlier games, they would get a flow that really ride the wave and give you a problem. There were some little ones today, but you stayed with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we lost it a little there in the second again. We got to get better at that, obviously. But other than that, I think we played a pretty good 60-minute game.
I agree, William. You did play a pretty good 60-minute game as a team. You individually and your teammates with you as a whole. Well, one guy that I've kind of gotten on a little bit, because you have to. It's just a fact of life. It's not fair. It's not fun for me. But when a lot of goals are going in the net and you're not used to seeing a lot of goals go into the net because you've had a goaltender that was the absolute best during the regular season and he's struggling during the playoffs, you know, you've got to be honest about it. It's not fun, especially when you know how pure of heart that guy is and how much effort he is giving to try to be the best, and it's just not working out for him. But last night, Sergei Bobrovsky made big saves at key times, and that's all the Blue Jackets need him to do, make big saves at key times. There were a couple of pucks that went in that look, when you watch it, the Ron Hainsey goal from the boards, that looks terrible. But there was a screen in front of him. He never saw the shot, okay? So take that for what it is. To be honest, sometimes they look ugly and they're really not the goaltender's fault. Other times they look pretty and they are the goaltender's fault. That happens too, so it all works out. But Sergei Bobrovsky was good last night. He was good enough for the Blue Jackets to get a win, and that's it. That's all they need. That's all they want from him. That's all they want. That's all they need, and he just needs to make adjustments, and I think he's done that. And I thought he especially did that last night coming into the game and then throughout the game last evening. Had a chance to catch up with him in the dressing room after the game.
Is this then a safe, kind of a valve? You let some pressure off? You know, you can enjoy it more now.
Yeah, I would say so. It's great to get the win. I thought guys did a hell of a job in front of me, and it's great to feel that.
Thanks.
Bob, so many shots on the ice in this. Thank you. So many shots on the ice in this series. Everybody looking for rebounds. It looks obvious that both teams are figuring they're not going to beat you cleanly, so they've got to try to bounce it around a little bit.
Yeah, it's that they both teams had their own strategy, and so I just have to do my things and enjoy it.
They have tried to work a lot, and they've been successful working from behind you a lot in this series. Look like your guys did a much better job of shutting that off today.
Yeah, definitely. We played tight defensively, and it was great. I enjoyed that.
No panic in this team today. Even when there were times that you could have panicked, maybe the second intermission came at a really good time because they were pushing. But what can you say just about the mental play of your team today?
I thought we were strong, so I thought we did our stuff, our things, and so we played great whole 60 minutes. So I thought guys were comfortable as well, and we did enjoy that atmosphere. It was unbelievable tonight.
That one game at a time thing might sound weird to people from outside here, but you guys have been doing this for 6 months, one day at a time, and you're able to come out and do it again today. And you, it's even more than one day at a time. It's one save at a time, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. So, and that's what it's all about. And so we enjoy tonight and move on.
That is Sergei Bobrovsky, and I'm so happy that he got a win in this series. He deserves it. He deserves it. And he worked last night, and he got it. And that's what's most important. Have fun and move on. And he'll be ready to go again tomorrow night. Nobody is ever more ready to go than Sergei, in my opinion. It doesn't always work out in his favor, but there's nobody that's ever more ready to go for a game than Sergei Bobrovsky. And I am delighted that he and Nick Foligno got a chance to put on a playoff hug last night at the end of the third period. First regulation playoff win in franchise history. I'd kind of forgotten about that because when the Blue Jackets won their two playoff games 3 years ago, they were both in overtime. But not last night. It only took 60 minutes to get the job done. Well, there was a very special guest in-house last night. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman was at the game. He came in late in the afternoon, and I had a chance to catch up with him before the game started. I'll let you listen to that conversation right now, and it covers everything from the playoffs to the Vegas Golden Knights. Mr. Commissioner, first of all, welcome to Columbus. How nice is it for you to be here at this time of the year during the playoffs?
Oh, playoffs are a great time of the year, and it's fun to see the excitement that the Blue Jackets have generated in Columbus this season. And, you know, even when you're down 3-0, what these playoffs have proved is that anything can happen.
It sure has proven that so far in the early going in the first round. And, you know, when you look at some of these series and the ones that are 3-0 or the surprising Toronto Maple Leafs to this point, as somebody that oversees everything in this league, how pleased are you with what you've seen in this first week?
What we want from our game, whether it's the regular season races to the playoffs or the playoffs themselves, is we want the games to be fun, exciting, entertaining, and unpredictable, with the emphasis on the great speed and skill that our players demonstrate night in and night out. And that's exactly what you're seeing in these playoffs.
Rookie mistake leaving the phone on, right?
That was your phone, not mine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Anyway.
And it's a robocall.
There you go. That figures. That's the way it always works. But, you know, and getting back to Columbus here, and not just Columbus, but this year you had a lot of teams that have gotten back into the playoffs that weren't in there last year. And when I know this is what you're trying to promote, the parity and getting everybody involved, having everybody involved to the last moment and keeping them involved. So from that standpoint, how happy are you?
Well, the competitive balance that we have in this league is extraordinary. We want our fans to know that no matter who you root for, your team has a chance to make the playoffs, and then anything, as we've discussed, can happen. We have seven teams that are in the playoffs this year that weren't in last year. Over the last decade, I think the minimum number of turnover has been five. And when you look at the races, you know, teams just missing the playoffs by a point. You look at series that are being decided in overtime games where, you know, a goal here or there makes all the difference, not only in a particular game, but potentially the series. We want the game to be riveting, compelling, And as I said, exciting, and that's what we're getting night in and night out.
A couple of years ago, you changed this playoff structure to start within divisions and have a couple of wild card teams. I'm not complaining about this. I totally understand the creating rivalries, but what a weird year it was this year where you wound up with three of the top four teams in the league being in the same division, and unfortunately guaranteed that one of those teams is definitely going to be out after one round.
You know, to win the cup, you got to beat the best teams, although it doesn't matter where you're seeded necessarily, because you have some lower seeded teams on the verge of possible upsets. And so in any given year, you can criticize any format, but over time, what we were looking to do was emphasize rivalries and get great series, great matchups as early on as possible. And frankly, when you're seeing teams in the playoffs that you know from your division, you're better acquainted with the players on the other teams, you have a better appreciation for what's going on, you get more into the series. And obviously the Pittsburgh-Columbus series is a terrific one, and it has all the hallmarks of what you get from a great rivalry.
And that's what I was going to say. When you're talking about the rivalries, this has got to be like Exhibit A, isn't it?
Well, it is Exhibit A, but not just for this year. Mm-hmm. This is going to set the tone for next year and the year after. And it's not just in the playoffs. It's in the regular season. These are teams that have something to prove against each other. And over time, with a playoff matchup like this, you're going to build a long rivalry, strong rivalry that'll last for years.
Besides these playoffs, which are going to be terrific, they already are, as we talked about, this is going to be an exciting offseason. You have an expansion draft coming up, adding a new team in the Vegas Golden Knights. Then, of course, you'll have the awards and you'll have the draft. So this summer is going to be a little bit unique and should be a lot of fun.
Well, in terms of the awards and the draft, that's every year. And we're not going to be too far from here for the draft in Chicago. The expansion draft adds a new element, and frankly, more than the expansion draft itself, it's going to be the prospect of having a team in Las Vegas. And my guess is that there are going to be a lot of fans of the Blue Jackets from Columbus who are going to say, hey, you know, the Blue Jackets are playing in Las Vegas next weekend. Why don't we go and see them play on the road? Being in Las Vegas, I think, is going to be good for hockey and good for the league because of the nature of that city. I think it's going to raise the visibility of our game.
If I could put in one request, can it not be a back-to-back with Colorado or Arizona? Can we have a night off in Vegas? Could you pull that off for us?
I'm not sure your general manager will want that.
I wouldn't if I were the general manager, actually. Mr. Commissioner, thank you very much. It is great to see you. Congratulations on all the success this year, and best of luck here over the next couple of months.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
That is NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Talking to him is not the same as talking to John Tortorella. You know, Torts just kind of rolls with things. The commissioner is more of a serious guy. I've talked to him maybe three times in my life. And you know me, I like to be a little bit more lighthearted. He was very serious about his job. And for the record, I was recording on my phone, so that was not my phone that rang. Let's just get that straight. That wasn't my phone. Look, it's fine. Phones ring in the middle of interviews. People forget to shut them off. I get it. But, you know, you can't have it cranked the whole way up and don't have that old-time ringer that makes it seem like you're watching PBS and they're taking a break in between Sesame Street and the electric company to try to raise some more money, okay? But anyway, it was not my phone. It was not. But it was great to see him, and I'm glad he was there. I think it's a big deal for Columbus for the NHL commissioner to be there. Just for at any time, quite frankly. He's got 30 markets to take care of, soon to be 31. It's a big deal. It's a big deal when he shows up. And last night was a big deal all around. So it was very nice of him to be there, and I really appreciate him taking the time to do that interview with me last evening. So we're off to Pittsburgh today. Blue Jackets and the Penguins, game 5 tomorrow night. And it's going to be a great one. The Penguins are going to try to close this thing out. They have no desire to come back to Columbus. The Blue Jackets want to come back to Columbus and bring the Penguins in tow. How's it going to go down? Who knows? It is so hard to predict right now, but the Blue Jackets have a little bit of life, and they have a little bit of confidence. And as I said earlier in the show, if they can pull one off tomorrow night, they're going to have a lot of confidence, and they are going to be a problem for the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're already a problem because they forced a game 5. But if they can force a game 6, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Tomorrow, I will have a game day edition of CBJ and 30 for you. Today, much more to come. 7 o'clock tonight, Jody Shelley and I get together for the Inside Edge. It's a show that you can catch on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network. That is 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. You can also go through the NHL app and go through BlueJackets.com, too. We'll have it for you. But tonight, we're going to be joined. We're expected to be joined. I got to say that because plans change, things happen. But we are expected to be joined tonight by Lucas Sedlak, who played his first Stanley Cup playoff game last night in the Blue Jackets 5-4 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. So Jody Shelley and I tonight, 7 o'clock, 97.1 The Fan with the Inside Edge. Until then, I'm Bob McKelligan saying so long.